Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari, Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama. Hari Hari, Jayarad Hagalokanandarad Hagalokanandaragate, Jayarad Hagalokananda Radagulokananda Radagate, Jayarad Jayarad Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Gaur Premananda, Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Omagana, Timidanda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, Unmititam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So we are going to read the Sanskrit. As you see here, you have the Sanskrit on your screen. And I will read the Sanskrit once, and then we will go over the word-by-word synonyms and Srila Prabhupada's translation. So, Sri Bhagavan Vacha Avayam Sattva Samshuti Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi Dhanam Dhamascha Yagyascha Svadhyayas Tapa Arjavam Ahimsa Satyam Akrodas Tyaga Shantirapaishunam Dhyabhuteshvalo Luktvam Mardavam Rira Chapalam Tejakshama Griti Shocham Adroha Natimanata Bhavanti Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata. So, the synonyms are as follows. Actually, part of the screen is blocked out, so I'll be reading from the book. Alright. Hold on a second. So, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, Abhayam, I don't think I'll be able to display this on the screen, but I'm trying. Abhayam, fearlessness, sattva samshuddhi, purification of one's existence, jnana, in knowledge, yoga, of linking up, vivastitihi, the situation, dhanam, charity, dhamma, controlling the mind, cha, and Yajna, performance of sacrifice, cha, and Svadhyaya, study of Vedic literature. Tapa, austerity. Arjavam, simplicity. Ahimsa, nonviolence. Satcham, truthfulness. Akrodaha, freedom from anger. Chaga, renunciation. Shanti, tranquility. Apaishanam, aversion to fault-finding. Daya, mercy. Bhuteshu, towards all living entities. Aloluptvam, freedom from greed, Mardavam, gentleness, Ri, modesty, Achapalam, determination, Tejo, vigor, Kshama, forgiveness, Druti, fortitude, Shocham, cleanliness, Adroha, freedom from envy, Na, not, Atimanita, expectation of honor, Bhavanti, are, Sampadam, the qualities, Daivim, transcendental nature, Abhijatasha, of one who is born of Bharata, that is, O son of Bharata. Let's see if we can see this. No, actually it's blocked out for me. So let's just go back to the regular screen. Okay. So the translation is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, nonviolence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So, what we're going to do today is talk about how Srila Prabhupada exhibits these qualities to the fullest degree. And, of course, these qualities come from what's mentioned in the second verse, a second Sanskrit word in the verse, Satvasham Shuddhi, being associated with the sattva, transcendental sattva gun. Let me explain a little bit about the modes of nature before we start. As we're aware, there's three modes of nature, as Krishna states in the Gita, goodness, passion, ignorance, sattva, raja, and tama. And these three modes of nature influence and control everybody within this world. Interesting verse in the Gita, Nahikaschit Shanamapi Jatutishtati Akarmakrit Karyate Yavasakarma Sarva Prakriti Jarigunai. And this verse states that everybody within this world who is not Krishna conscious is forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the three modes of material nature. No one can refrain from action. Everyone is basically helpless. Of course, does that mean that we have no free will, that, you know, if I happen to be in the mode of ignorance and drinking, not just water, but drinking other things, then am I blameless? No. Because I can choose which mode I'm associating with, or, on the other hand, I can choose the transcendental mode. As another verse in the Gita states, Mamchayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatichayatan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, that one who engages in Krishna's service, Sagunan Samatichayatan, he can rise above the modes of nature and be established in the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is actually our goal. However, within this world, we can actually choose which mode we associate with by associating with persons or activities in those particular modes, or by associating with food in those particular modes, by associating with places in those particular modes. For example, the forest is in the mode of goodness, and the city is in the mode of passion, generally. And the places of intoxication are in the mode of ignorance. So depending on what choices you make in this world, you're situated in certain modes, and you're forced to act helplessly by those modes. And even if you think, well, I'm going to be in the mode of goodness. I'm going to the forest and going to be camping out. I'm going to climb the Himalayas, Mount Everest. But still, Krishna states in the Gita that the three modes of nature are in continual flux. That means they're in continually changing. And sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent, defeating the mode of ignorance. And sometimes the mode of ignorance is prominent, defeating the mode of goodness and passion. And you get the idea that they're struggling for control. So being in the mode of goodness is not actually a secure position. As we see in the case of this one young man, Ajamil. He was in the mode of goodness and faithfully serving his spiritual master. And then he came across some interesting things, a Shudra and Shudrani, and he became attracted and associated with the mode of ignorance. And so Krishna states this in the Gita, that jayatos avishakpumsam sangos teshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha bijayate. That when you contemplate something, you associate with that thing, and of course you develop attachment for it. And when you develop attachment for it, then after attachment comes extreme attachment, and extreme attachment means L-U-S-T. And then when your L-U-S-T is not satisfied, then you get something called A-N-G-E-R. For those of you who don't know English, that means anger. And then you get all bewildered and all sorts of things happen. So you see that because as that famous song goes from the 1960s and 70s, which I'm sure Ma Mantra can chant for us one day, you can't get no satisfaction. You can't get satisfaction in this world. And you just get anger. You try again and again. And that's called in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Punak Punas Char Vitachar Vananam. You try again and again and again, and you don't get that satisfaction. You get a little hint of satisfaction, and then in the end run, anger, disturbance, depression, whew, not a good idea. So that's the problem with the modes of nature. However, there is a transcendental mode, which is described the second word in this verse, sattva samshuddhi, that means transcendental goodness. And that's where these qualities come from that great devotees exhibit. Abhaya sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vavasati. So Srila Prabhupada was always situated in transcendental sattva gun, which is called Vishuddha Sattva. Therefore, all of his qualities were continually manifest. The good qualities were continually manifest. That's also why you have this nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavacha Kinchana Sanvar Gunas Tatra Samasate Sura Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna Manoritain Asati Davato Bihi. That one who is actually Krishna conscious or established in Sattva Samshuddhi, then all the good qualities are automatically manifest. In other words, someone like Srila Prabhupada doesn't have to try individually to acquire these qualities, but they come because of his bhakti or because of his devotion. Bhakti means devotion. And one who is not in Sattva Shuddha, Vishuddha Sattva, sorry. One who is not Harava Bhaktasya Kato Bahadguna Manoritainasati Davatobahi, then his or her good qualities are not considered to be stable. In other words, they don't pertain to the self. They actually come and go according to the modes of nature. So Srila Prabhupada always exhibited these perfect qualities. So we're going to start with our talk about these qualities. Of course, the first one is related to Srila Prabhupada's name. Abhaya Chandanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, of course. So Abhaya refers to without fear. So we see in Srila Prabhupada's life many instances of how he manifested this particular quality. And of course, the most famous instance is when Srila Prabhupada himself was coming across the ocean in a boat at the age of 70 without any visible means of support once he reached America. And this shows his absolute surrender to Krishna. Now, how does freedom from fear come about? Because this material world is a very fearful place. Panam panam yad vipadam natesham. There's danger at every step. Not only physical danger, there's emotional danger, there's spiritual danger. So how is it that Srila Prabhupada was fearless? Not only was he fearless, but how was he fearless? You know, what is the reason? Because he understood that Krishna is always protecting him and Krishna is always maintaining him. The Upanishad state, nityo nityanam chetana chetanasnam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kamam, that the Supreme Lord is maintaining everyone. But especially, Krishna's devotee is being maintained directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So maintained and protected. So Srila Prabhupada had that conviction that he could go without any visible means of support. And he knew that it was Krishna's desire because it was the order of his guru. That's another important point that Srila Prabhupada would often make. He said, within the order or the direction of the guru is the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada was very fond of telling his disciples that when the order of the spiritual master or direction of the spiritual master is there, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And that came out particularly in one instance where I was present. During the time when Srila Prabhupada was visiting Los Angeles in the middle 1970s, not 1870s, then Srila Prabhupada was dissatisfied at one point. And why was he dissatisfied? Because he was ahead in his translating work. And the BBT, the translation and or the transcription and printing department that Srila Prabhupada had assigned to print his books, was far behind. And Srila Prabhupada was very upset at that. And he basically told the devotees that you have to produce the amount of books that I'm ahead in 2 months. And Prabhupada was ahead by 17 books. And so the devotees remarked immediately that it's impossible, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada commented, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So I was able to perceive how the impossible became possible by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. What happened is that in the space of 2 months, 17 hardbound books with paintings and pictures and editing and all that other stuff was done. And this is not easy. It wasn't easy for the devotees to do because many of these books had a lot of Sanskrit, a lot of Bengali in them. And it happened. It was like a miracle. And the devotees basically gave up their own self-interest in order to fulfill the interests of Srila Prabhupada and was successful. So Srila Prabhupada, I thank you, Aditya Narayan, for putting that out. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So in other words, one becomes empowered by the order of the spiritual master. And we see Srila Prabhupada was always meditating on the order of his guru. He got that order when he was a young man, when he first met his guru in Calcutta. That order was to preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in English, and obviously in the Western world. And he took that order to heart and tried his best through many different means, such as acquiring money through business, which didn't work. And eventually, he went to the Western world, and he was successful because he had that faith in the order of his guru. So this faith in Krishna, faith in the guru, that's another verse, actually, that comes to mind in the Bhagavatam. Yasha devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tashayite katitar yarita prakashante mahatmana. One who has that implicit faith in the order of the guru and in the Vedic literatures, everything is revealed to that particular individual. That was Srila Prabhupada's manifestation. We see with all the other disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who got the same instruction from their Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada was the only one who actually took that up with full faith, with no prerequisites, with no amenities, and with no money, and Srila Prabhupada was successful. So that is fearlessness. And of course, there's many instances in Srila Prabhupada's life that indicate his fearlessness. He was a fearless preacher. He would challenge the atheists and the materialists without any sort of fear. He basically manifested to the fullest degree this quality of fearlessness. So what I'd like to do now, as I said, it's going to be interactive with all of you. I would like to ask to see if any of you have examples of Srila Prabhupada's fearlessness in your memories that you'd like to relate to us. Anybody who knows Srila Prabhupada's pastimes would like to say something to us. Do I see anyone? Yes. Okay. Actually, first of all, Aditya said fighting with Mr. Nair. Do you want to tell us about that?
That's not me. That's someone by name Anirudh.
What's that?
I did not post that comment, Maharaj. It's someone by name Anirudh.
Oh, Anirudh. You want to say something? I don't see him. Anyway.
So I guess you'll go there.
Mr. Nair. Everyone. Well, his mic's not working. So what happened is that Srila Prabhupada, in acquiring the Bombay property, which is known as Mumbai right now, Srila Prabhupada took all sorts of risks and fought with one of the biggest industrialists in Bombay. And in fact, because of the influence of that industrialist, the temple, while they were in worshiping the deity there, before the temple was constructed, they had a temporary shed. The temple was attacked by a bunch of gundas. And Srila Prabhupada remained determined, and the devotees who were protecting the deities also remained determined and fearless in protecting the deities and carrying out Srila Prabhupada's wish. So, Rishikesh, you had a statement.
Yes, Guru, it's about the... It's about the ghost, you know, the couple of haunted places in Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada.
You want to tell us about it, or should I relate that?
No, if you can tell a little better.
Okay. So this is a very interesting story. Like Srila Prabhupada being very expert, because one of the qualities of a pure devotee is daksha. That's listed in the 26 qualities, which we're not going to talk about today. Daksha means expert. So Srila Prabhupada, Kamalini, I'll let you know in a second. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to acquire a property in Calcutta, and that property was at a very low price because that property was basically ghostly haunted. So as you know, in India, many people are afraid of ghosts. I think that's quite common, to be afraid of ghosts. And Srila Prabhupada thought, well, I can get that property at a very low price, and then I'll get rid of the ghosts. So he got the property, and he got rid of the ghosts, and he saved a lot of money in getting that property. Very intelligent. Another time, Srila Prabhupada got rid of the ghosts at John Lennon's estate. Prabhupada was staying at John Lennon's estate, and it turns out that one of the houses at John Lennon's estate was ghostly haunted, and Srila Prabhupada just walked through there and chanted the holy names and depending on Krishna, knocked on the walls with his cane, and the ghosts were gone. So Srila Prabhupada was not afraid of anyone. He preached like a lion, just like a lion in the jungle, just like you heard that song from Maha Mantra before. Anyway, a lion in the jungle is the king of the jungle. So Srila Prabhupada was like a lion that nothing made him afraid. You never saw Prabhupada, you know, fearful about something, whether it was a virus or whatever. I mean, if Prabhupada was around now with a coronavirus, Prabhupada would not be fearful about it. I know myself when I was coming back from Fiji, I was just probably fearful for about 30 hours on the way back, thinking, oh my God, look at these people. That person's coughing. That person looks sick. And anyway, we are not like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had absolutely no fear and complete dependence on Krishna for everything. So, actually, so Krishna Priya, you raised your hand. You want to say something? You got to take yourself off mute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
So one thing that came to my mind was actually in the beginning when Prabhupada came to New York City and he was having to live in the Bowery. He was having to walk over drunk people. And then he was having to live with people that were taking LSD and drugs and like horrendous situations. And he was fearless.
That's a very good point. That's a fantastic point. Like Prabhupada just like, not only that, but one time, the boy who was taking LSD went crazy with the LSD and Prabhupada had to run out of the apartment to save his life. And he was just on the streets of New York and simply at Krishna's mercy. Thank you for that. So we had two other devotees. I think Kamalini raised her hand. Kamalini, if you take yourself off mute, you can say something.
Well, along these lines of preaching, when I hear Srila Prabhupada like in room conversations and say if he's being interviewed, talking to a, you know, a reporter, it doesn't matter who he's talking to, how he will talk so boldly. And he did say, well, I'm an old man and I can speak like that, but you can't. So that he preaches so very, very boldly and answering questions. It's like, always related to how they can surrender to Krishna. So like that. That's one thing.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So, one instance comes to mind that I was just listening to a class that Srila Prabhupada was giving, and he was speaking to a man who was a industrialist, and this man produced glass. He had a glass factory. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, what do you do? And the man said, I make glass. And Prabhupada said, where do the ingredients from glass come from? And the man said, well, it comes from silica, you know, sand. And Prabhupada said, who owns the sand? Who is the proprietor of the sand? And the man said, it's Krishna, Bhagavan. He used the word Bhagavan. And Prabhupada said, oh, then therefore you're a thief. Because you're stealing. And then the man, in order to cover himself, said, well, I give a lot of money away in charity. And Prabhupada said, oh, then you're just a little thief. So Prabhupada was also very humorous often. And he was an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance, so he knew when or how he could say something. So we had three more people who are raising their hands. So Here, Emmanuel, why don't you say something? Take yourself off mute and say something.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So what's your contribution?
That he spoke Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he didn't water it down or, you know, compromise anything just to appease, you know, how people might want to hear it.
That's very good. Actually, that is a fact. I mean, Prabhupada could have made many more followers had he not been so direct like that. But Prabhupada would often say that he was looking for some actual jewels or diamonds, not looking simply for some dime store. I don't know if any of you know what a dime store is, but they used to have these stores called the 5 and 10 cent stores, and you could buy jewelry in those stores that was worth literally 5 or 10 cents. So Srila Prabhupada said he was looking for some valuable gems, and he always presented the truth. Prabhupada never changed one whit of the philosophy to get followers. He was always extremely direct. Does anyone else want to share with us about Prabhupada's
yes, Raj.
Fearlessness? Yes, Ayush, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
This is one instance I know. Like, I don't know where it is, but many devotees, they were getting kidnapped by the people parents who had hired kidnappers to kidnap them and brainwashing. And Prabhupada says, this is Maya, and this is the battle between Maya. We have to fight. So he was very still good. Bold. Devotees were losing hope, but Prabhupada was still bold.
Very, very good. Yeah, so what he's referring to is the time in America where they had these deprogrammers. And yeah. Prabhupada even thought that at one particular juncture they'd want to kidnap him and deprogram him. Of course, that would not happen. And Prabhupada just encouraged the devotees to go on fighting. It was a very intense time in America at that time. And Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to go to court. There was a court battle in New York to establish the authenticity of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada really took the courageous way of dealing with the situation rather than someone else would be hiding behind someone else or trying to evade or avoid the situation. Prabhupada took it head on. When he was asked how the devotees should take care of the court case in New York, Prabhupada said, we should make the judge read all of his books as evidence. So Prabhupada had the devotees, there was one devotee, Adi Keshava, who was at the forefront of that particular case. So Prabhupada had the devotees bring in a whole stack of all of his books and said to the judge, Your Honor, we are bringing all these books in as evidence. You have to read them all. And the judge actually read all the books. And eventually, the judge pronounced that the Krishna consciousness movement is bona fide, is actually a bona fide religion. And as a result, there was a wonderful New York Times article about that. The Krishna consciousness movement is bona fide. And when Srila Prabhupada read that, he said, finally, we have achieved victory. So Srila Prabhupada was very much into this Kshatriya fighting spirit. In fact, Prabhupada said that's the mood the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement should have, fighting for Krishna. That reminds me of another instance. Thank you, Ayush. But it reminds me of another instance that in the final days, Prabhupada insisted upon going to London to preach and to see the devotees. And it's described in Prabhupada's biography that Prabhupada was, his body was like a bag of bones that anybody who was a normal, let's say, conditioned soul, like whatever, like ourselves, would be experiencing extreme pain. When you have no flesh in your body and it's just bones and skin, it's extreme pain for someone to even touch you. So Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees he wanted to go to the West to preach. And of course, eventually he did. And there's an interesting statement that Srila Prabhupada gave. he said, give me the benediction, basically. I'm paraphrasing. Give me the benediction of dying on the battlefield. And then Prabhupada even said, we want devotees like Arjuna. We don't want devotees to just sit down and, you know, bhajananandis, who just sit down and chant. We want devotees to go out and save the world. And that's Prabhupada's compassion. Of course, that's one of the other qualities that's listed here later on in the list of compassion for all living entities, daya bhuteshu. So Prabhupada exhibited this extreme freedom from all sorts of fear, even in such a situation. And then he went to London, and of course eventually they took him back after his health got worse, and Prabhupada left in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada did something different than practically every other resident of Vrindavan at that time. When Prabhupada left Vrindavan and went to the West, he was about 70 years old. It was in 1965, and Prabhupada was born in 1896. And the residents of Vrindavan kept telling Prabhupada, don't go to the West. You should just stay here and leave your body in Vrindavan, because if you leave your body in Vrindavan, you're going to go back to home, back to Godhead. But Prabhupada, he didn't heed that. He just, in a very determined, lion-like way, decided to go to the Western world. And that's why we're here today, because of Prabhupada's fearlessness, his courage. He had courage like a lion. Abhaya Chadana Aravinda. Wonderful quality. So anyone else? Oh, we got two more participants. Anyone else? You'll have to take yourself off of mute.
Yes,
who wants to share another instance of courage?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Okay, let me take mine off.
Okay, we got Namaruchi and Gopi. Okay, Namaruchi, you go first. I can't hear you.
I would just like to share that when he had the choice to go.
I can hear you now. That's fine.
He had the choice to go to places like Sydney. He got lots of invites, and he would always choose to go to the communist countries and the countries which needed him most. He just wanted to go where his prison.
Yes. Prabhupada, he went to Moscow. Thank you for bringing that up. And when Prabhupada went to Moscow, basically he got to meet with one professor, Professor Katosky. And even the professor was very nervous that Prabhupada was meeting with him, because there's a communist country, and then they brought a Bhagavad Gita into the country that was at customs. They were investigating, what is this book? And Prabhupada very boldly went there, and he was able to implant the seed of Krishna consciousness. And from that seed, the whole movement expanded to basically tens of thousands of devotees today. Okay, thank you, Namaruchi. So, Gopi, you have something to add?
Yeah, a memory, because I watch usually almost every day, two or three times, whenever I'm taking prasadam, the memories of Prabhupada. And one of them that came to mind was when he went to the French Parliament and he met with a state person, you know, really high class place. And he was, you know, there's a certain etiquette that you go through. And when the governor or whoever it was that walked in, he was supposed to stand up and then he could sit down, but he didn't. He just sat there. And then the governor just started sweating I don't remember the position, but you know, he started sweating because he's nervous and he's looking at his other guy like he's supposed to be standing up. He's not following the etiquette. But you know, for me, it was kind of like in that kind of situation, he felt no discomfort. He knew his position exactly, and what he, you know, needed to get across was that, you know, what he had to share was so valuable, you know, above any French etiquette or other etiquette, social etiquette, whatever. And I just thought that takes a lot of courage, you know, actually. It would for me.
Yeah.
For him, maybe true. Not so much. But.
Well, thank you, Gopi. Another instance comes to mind when Prabhupada, one time he was criticized because he came from the airport in a Rolls Royce. And they asked, "You came from the airport in a Rolls Royce. Isn't this material?" And Prabhupada said, "Even a gold car is not good enough for the spiritual master." So he wasn't concerned with others' opinions. He simply wanted to give out Krishna consciousness. So we have two more participants raising hands. I can't see the names.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Hare Bol. Jai. Hare. So you have something to add?
Yeah, so for Prabhupada, fearlessness, I think of how he chastises Mayavadis and Apasampradayas by name, and you know, he's so strong about it. He even says that he would kick them on their face with his boots. So, yeah, that is really, you know, amazing thing, you know, because,
That's wonderful. Thank you for giving us that example. And that was very much in the line of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is known as Nrisimha Guru. There's this one instance in the case of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent two devotees to preach. One was a sannyasi and one was a brahmachari. And the sannyasi, he tried to be very politically correct, but the brahmachari, he called a famous saint in Bengal, and I'm not going to mention the name of the famous saint because I'm not bold like Srila Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and some of you may get angry with me on the internet. So he mentioned, he called him sort of like a foolish something, murkha. He called him murkha. And for those of you who know what that means like fool. So he called this, the person in Bengal who was considered one of the greatest saints, he called him a murkha, the brahmachari did. And there was a riot afterwards. And so the brahmachari and sannyasi went back to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what happened is the brahmachari or the sannyasi was complaining to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he said, "This brahmachari, he has created a ruckus, you know, problem." And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "What did he do?" And the sannyasi explained what he did. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "He has done very well. He has pleased Krishna." So Prabhupada had that same mood. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was often called the Nrisimha Guru. Nrisimha Guru means like a guru like Lord Nrisimhadev. And so Prabhupada really imbibed that mood too. Of course, he was also as soft as a rose sometimes. So he understood how to adjust things according to time, place, and circumstance. So any other of Prabhupada's avaya, shatva, avaya qualities, freedom from fear qualities?
Hare Krishna
Gurudev. Nalini Khan, very good. Okay.
Gurudev, I don't remember exactly who went to Pakistan, but
Prabhupada who went to Pakistan.
There was conversation in the conversation with someone, and someone has challenged, and Srila Prabhupada sent him to Pakistan. And as you mentioned just now, that he was soft like a rose. So when there was some war situation or riot situation, and he was very, very worried about him. I think there were two of them. And when they returned, he touched on their head like a mother would touch a kid, that everything is fine with my boy and things like that. So preaching in Pakistan, that was fearless. This quality, and then rose when they came back.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. The story goes is that Brahmananda, who was one of Prabhupada's original disciples in New York, was in Pakistan preaching during the Indian-Pakistan War. It was actually between West Pakistan and East Pakistan. East Pakistan, of course, nowadays is known as Bangladesh. And so there was a war between the two countries, and India took the side of East Pakistan, that's Bangladesh, against West Pakistan, which is the Pakistan today. And these devotees went there at Prabhupada's instruction, because Prabhupada had, before the war, had asked them to go to Pakistan to preach. And then Prabhupada read in the newspaper how there were two Hare Krishna missionaries who had been killed. Now, of course, that report was not accurate. And then Prabhupada couldn't sleep. He was up pacing, basically, until these devotees came back. And when they came back to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada embraced them and was very happy, praying for their protection. And these devotees were protected. Very nice story. So, was it Drishtadyumna? I'm not sure. The question, someone asked the question, was it Drishtadyumna Prabhu with Brahmananda Prabhu? I'm really not sure, but I know Brahmananda was there. So, any other? We have two more participants. Wow, everyone's participating here. This is nice. Who else wants to share something? Just unmute yourselves if you want to share.
Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
Prabhupada was so determined to save his guru. He didn't even think of his health. He went by boat for how many, with only 40 rupees across so many years. Yeah. So he had a lot of determination, and he was
a lot of determination, and he was completely fearless.
Yes.
You know, Prabhupada, one time, there's another interesting story about that, being fearless. So as you're all bringing up things, I'm remembering other instances, that one time the devotees were talking about World War III. Now, at one point, Prabhupada actually mentioned that there was going to be another war, or possibly be another war, and that it would be between the United States and Russia. And so the devotees were getting very nervous about this. And there were some conversations with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was asked, what are we going to do? And the devotees said to Prabhupada that if the bombs fall, then everything will become contaminated. We won't be able to eat anything. And they said, Prabhupada, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, then we'll die. In a very nonchalant fashion. You know, most of us, if we think death is coming, we don't relax or be very nonchalant. And then Prabhupada even said, only a fool will complain when death is coming. And so Prabhupada just shows, he says, we will die. You know, very, very peacefully, Prabhupada said that. And then Prabhupada, another time, in Prabhupada's youth, Prabhupada was taking prasadam while the bombs were falling in Calcutta. And everybody else was running to the bomb shelter. This is during World War II, of course. And then Prabhupada just kept taking prasadam, depending on Krishna. And then when the prasadam was finished, he went to the bomb shelter. So Prabhupada had absolutely no fear of anyone. He simply wanted to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, Krishnapriya, you have another point. I see you raising your hand, Krishnapriya. Take yourself off mute if you want it.
It must be the other Krishnapriya.
Oh, another Krishnapriya. Okay.
Chota Krishnapriya.
Chota Krishnapriya. So, since she raised her hand, I don't see her talking, so... So anyway, so, whoops, Nalini Kant, you have something else?
Gurudev, there was an instance where Srila Prabhupada was on the plane, and plane, I think, rolled or something, and the one who was traveling, I forgot the name, he says, like, he could see Srila Prabhupada, he was not bothered about this, and he asked, like, and then Srila Prabhupada replied, oh, we can die anytime. And he was not at all worried about that. And also instance where he took a shower at the airport. I mean,
oh, yeah. That's a very funny story, because Prabhupada was in a normal bathroom in the airport and he took his loda and he was pouring it over his head. And the custodian, the janitor, came in, and the janitor was looking at him like, oh, my God, what's happening here? And Prabhupada didn't care, you know. Prabhupada gave one example of how devotees should be fearless, and it was quite a funny example. Prabhupada said, whoops. Oh, yeah. So let me, before I do that, I'll read Aniruddha's thing. Besides, despite criticism from all of his god brothers, Prabhupada actually engaged women in Krishna consciousness and had women in the temple. That's another instance of being fearless and not worrying about others. So here's the example. Prabhupada gave a very funny example about how we should not care about others and be fearless. He said, in the same way, this is in the old days in Vrindavan, the people are going out in the field and relieving themselves, and they don't care what anyone thinks. we should just like do what Krishna wants and not be so concerned with public opinion. Of course, we do what's necessary in order to spread Krishna consciousness. But, you know, some people will like it, some people will not. But we have to do what we have to do. So, anyway, we've already utilized all the time just dealing with one quality. I actually have prepared all these different qualities. There's 26 of them. And I think if we go through all the qualities, we'll be here for the next 26 days. But you get an idea of how you can apply these different verses in the Bhagavad Gita to real life. Now, this verse applies to great saintly persons, and also we can apply the qualities of saintly persons to ourselves to see how or if we're developing these particular qualities. And you see how full of knowledge each particular word, or full of import, to use a more precise word, each word in the Bhagavad Gita is. You can just take one word and unpack it in a whole class. And Prabhupada said if you can understand one word in the Vedic literatures, particularly Prabhupada's books, then you'll become completely Krishna conscious. So even this quality of fearlessness, if you understand it properly, you will understand Krishna. And once you understand Krishna, yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati, you will understand everything. And that's why Prabhupada said he understood everything. Not that understanding everything means you have to know all the details, but you have to know the purpose. And Prabhupada would often give the example of Henry Ford. Henry Ford one time was accused of being unintelligent because he wasn't an expert engineer, scientist, mathematician. And he actually took these people to court, I guess, who were accusing him. And in the court, he presented a whole row of buttons. It's an interesting defense. And he said to the court, here's a row of buttons. If I press one of these buttons, an expert will come and actually answer whatever question I have. So Srila Prabhupada, he was expert in the sense of knowing the purpose of everything. That's the important thing, how to use something. Just like if you're driving a car, Prabhupada gave that example. It's not that you have to know how each and every aspect of the motor works. You just have to know how to get in it, turn the key, and drive to your destination. So in this way, Prabhupada knew how to use everything in Krishna's service, and Prabhupada was bold in doing it, took risks in doing it, and gave us the perfect example of how we should execute Krishna consciousness. So, because we've used up more than our allotted time, we'll end now unless someone has a question. And if you have a question, please either raise your hand or speak up. We have right now 64 people, which is an auspicious number. 64. Just like Krishna has 64 qualities, he has four qualities more than any other entity. He plays a flute, he has unexcelled beauty, he has loving pastimes, and he has intimate pastimes and loving devotees. So, if there's no questions or comments, thank you very much for joining us, and we will let Aditya Narayan Prabhu make an announcement since we have a lot of people here. Aditya Narayan Prabhu, you want to say something?
Can I ask one question?
Oh, you asked one question. All right.
Gurudev, can you tell us a little bit about Radharaman deities? I heard like Radharaman deities, like Radha is there, or Radha and Raman is same in that deity?
The Radharaman, there is no, for those of us who are not completely Krishna conscious, there's no visible Radharani deity next to Radharaman. However, they have the clothes of Radharani next to Radharaman, because Radharani is never separate from Krishna. So those who have spiritual vision and who can see through the eyes of Shastra see that Radharani is there. But the Shila that manifested Krishna is actually just Krishna.
Okay,
that was completely related to the topic of today's class. So, thank you for that. So, we'll let Aditya Narayan Prabhu make his announcements.
Thank you for joining us.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, I had a question if you have a minute.
Okay, sure.
So, Maharaj, so you quoted that verse, Yasyasi Bhagavati Bhagavat Akinchana, that, you know, by taking up the actually get those qualities. So that's by progressing in bhakti, we develop those qualities. And on the other hand, we are also cultivating qualities by studying like Bhagavad Gita, like particularly the shlokas you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So on one side, we are cultivating, and that cultivation is going to help us in bhakti. And other side, bhakti itself is giving rise to good qualities. Could you explain that a little bit, Maharaj? How is
that? Without bhakti, those qualities will not be stable. For example, let's take abhaya, the first quality, fearlessness. Okay, if I don't have faith and trust and love in Krishna, then what reason will I have for being fearless in each and every circumstance? There's no reason. There's no cause for my fearlessness. I mean, I may exhibit fearlessness because I just want to impress a lot of people or because I'm proud, but there will be a circumstance, or maybe a lot of circumstances, where I'll be fearful. So the whole point is, if one is trusting in someone who is absolute, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, all the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one can exhibit true fearlessness. For example, if you're a little boy and your father is behind you, you can probably challenge just about anybody, at least the other kids. Not the other fathers, of course. So in that way, you can be fearless. So if Krishna is behind you, then you can be fearless. But if you don't know what's going to happen at the time of death, if you're not Krishna conscious, you're not sure what's going to happen at the time, that's a very fearful situation. Right? Very, very fearful. Because you're not dependent on Krishna. If you don't know, like the devotees I was mentioning in that conversation who worried about World War III, what were you going to eat, Prabhupada? They were actually very fearful. I remember many years ago, during the Y2K, of course, most of you were not born at that particular time. Y2K means the year 2000. People were getting very fearful, and they were stockpiling food, worried what will happen if all the banks stop? What will happen if this happens? All the computers come stop. And there was a lot of paranoia, fearfulness, and I would say not so much dependence on Krishna. Of course, one should take precautions under ordinary circumstances, but not to depend on Krishna. To be fearful means that one doesn't have full faith in Krishna. You know, abhaya, yashasti bhakti bhagavacha kinchana. So bhakti means to love Krishna, obviously, but also to have full faith. Shraddha visha sakahe sudrida nishtya. That's a verse in Bengali, of course. Full faith is described as trusting that if one does whatever Krishna wants, then everything will be accomplished. Shraddha visha sakahe sudrida nishtya. This is the definition of faith. Faith and trust. You know, like it was interesting. And the American currency, I don't know if it still says it. It says, "In God we trust." Does it still say it? I don't know. I haven't looked at a dollar bill in a long time. Everything's online now. So, "In God we trust." So Prabhupada actually wanted a political party in America called the "In God We Trust" party. Interesting. In order to trust God, one has to know God. And Prabhupada also said, in order to love God, one has to know God. So without, I would say, yes, we can try to be fearless, but unless it's based upon the trust and love in God, that fearlessness will not hold up in every circumstance. And you can go through the rest of these qualities too. Whether it's austerity, I'm looking at some of the qualities now, simplicity, nonviolence, truthfulness. How can you be truthful without understanding Krishna? Because you won't know the truth. And then maybe you'll be dishonest and say that, you know, I think. Like Prabhupada would sometimes get upset with people who said, "I think it's like this," or "I think it's like that." So all these qualities, at least to manifest completely and permanently, they need to come from bhakti. One can exhibit some of these qualities for some time, but because one doesn't have bhakti or devotion or connection with Krishna or faith in Krishna, then there'll be other times when these qualities are not manifest. So it is extremely essential. Yes, we should be aware of these qualities. We should try to cultivate them. But without Krishna consciousness, they actually have no meaning. Like here, you know, kind to all living entities. I'm looking at another one here. So without knowing that all living entities are connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, how can you actually be kind? I mean, for example, you have to eat vegetables if you happen to be a vegetarian. So are you kind to the poor broccoli when you cut it? I don't think so. Broccoli or whatever you're cutting. I don't think so. But if you're Krishna conscious and offering it to Krishna, then Krishna says, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati." And if one offers me with love and devotion something, fruit, flower, a leaf, etc., then I will accept it. So then you're kind to that living entity, even though you're cutting it down. So if you don't offer it to Krishna, how you're kind? Anyway, you can go through this whole list, but you can see that the stable or steady manifestation of these qualities can only occur if one has devotion. They're dependent. At the same time, we should try to acquire them in relationship to Krishna, not separately. I mean, it's not that one should become courageous or fearless and become a boxer or something like that. And he's just like, I just don't know how to acquire any of these qualities without Krishna consciousness.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. So you have some announcements.
Yes, thank you so much, Maharaj, for enlightening us with this wonderful quality of Abhay, fearlessness and glorification of Prabhupada with respect to this particular quality. And it's just so enlightening to hear glories of Srila Prabhupada. So thank you so much, Maharaj. And thank you to all the devotees who actually participated and brought us so many wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. So thank you, everyone. And thank you so much, Maharaj. I wanted to mention that Maharaj will be giving Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. He'll be giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and it will be 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, like, Maharaj will be doing other live classes, which he'll be posting on his Facebook page. So if you like his page, then you'll be updated of all Maharaj's online classes. So I wanted to mention that. So this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6:30 a.m. will be the Bhagavatam class. And also, I would like to thank, we have been making this point that we don't have many devotees come to a temple because of the close down. And our services are still going on. So many devotees have come forward and made donations through PayPal. And, many of them are regularly doing it like on a weekly basis to cover our offerings to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda and cover all our services. And we are very grateful for your donations to the temple so we can continue our service to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. And if anyone is inspired to donate, I'm just posting on the group. So we have our temple website and we also have our PayPal ID. I just posted it on the group so you can make donations on the PayPal ID. Any donations are used in the service of Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. And we are very grateful for all your contributions to the temple. So thank you so much. And any other further online classes, we are posting on our weekly newsletter, New Goloka newsletter. And if you like to be on that, you can actually just send me a message or send a message to Mother Leela Shakti. I'm just putting in my email at our temple email address. So if you need any further information or would like to be on our mailing list, please send us at email at isconnc@gmail.com. So thank you again, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. And thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you very much, Aditya Narayan Prabhu. And hopefully we'll see everybody during the week online. And protect yourselves from the virus. Just a little bit of caution if you go out. Don't go too close to people. Wear a mask because it is quite a dangerous time. So please, we don't want any of you to get sick. Okay?
Good.
All right, thank you very much. Whoop.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Maharaj Ki Jai.
Asadharma. She's a New
Bye. Zealand.
Very enthusiastic devotee. We have devotees here from New Zealand, Fiji. I'm not sure if Australia is online. I don't think I saw anyone from Australia, but New Zealand, Fiji, and America, and no one from Europe, because it's not a good time for Europe right now. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Hey! Go ahead.
Ki Jai.